What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Young, Black, and Opinionated. I'm your host, Christina Royster. Make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening today, and you can follow the podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Although I have to admit right now, at the time of this recording, I am on a social media fast, and I've really enjoyed it so far. But if you follow the podcast on Instagram and Facebook, I'll make sure to give you a follow back. On today's episode, I'm not joined by a guest, but that's okay because I have a lot to talk about, including Women's History Month, and in general, I just want to share some of my favorite badass women in pop culture. Can I do that with y'all? Let's get into it. So shout out to intersectionality, right? Because I get to celebrate both Black History Month and Women's History Month, which is so dope. I love being a Black woman, and the party don't stop, basically. Now we're going from Black History Month to Women's History Month, and I get to talk all about some of my favorite women in, I'm going to say pop culture. I'm not going to say history, because are the women on this list the most groundbreaking women in history? Like, they're no Joan of Arc. However, these women have played a major part in pop culture, and this is a pop culture podcast. And I think that when we're talking about women's history, we have to consider how women have really shaped media, and those stereotypes, they're still there because, you know, I was recently reading, listening to the audiobook of Ebony K. Williams' Bet on Black, and she was talking about how, you know, the Real Housewives, that stereotype is still there. You know, they want the antics, they want the drama. When she wasn't giving the show what they wanted, people called her boring, when in fact she was just drama free. So those stereotypes do still exist in the media. However, I love the fact that there are some change makers. I love the fact that there are women saying, you know what, we don't have to deal with this shit. And it sucks that we've been doing this since before time, before suffrage movement. However, we have really made great strides, and hate or love the people on this list, I just love the fact that they have been authentically themselves. Some of these people are fictional, but these are just characters and personas that I grew up with, that I look up to. Okay, well, I'm not going to say I look up to all of them. However, these women really made their mark on pop culture and therefore history. So without further ado, let's just get into it, because I have a whole list of women that I would like to talk about. And this all started because I was watching Harlem on Amazon Prime. If you're not familiar, the show follows, you know, four successful women and Harlem, New York, and it's pretty much just like a Black Sex in the City, honestly. And that's what I'm saying, right? Like, finally we have more representation. We're seeing different types of women. No longer the cookie cutter stereotypes that, I mean, like I said, you know, you still get the stereotypical. I was just talking to somebody the other day about like Family Guy, and I was like, how the hell did Lois fucking deal with that shit? Like, Lois in her own right is a badass, but she's still a stereotypical wife, you know? So let's talk about some of the women who are breaking away from stereotypes. And the character that brought this whole topic to mind for me was Angie Wilson from Amazon's Harlem, as I said, played by Shaniqua Shunde. And this character normally would irritate me, but it's actually kind of refreshing to see this character. And she's kind of like ghetto fabulous, take no shit. And that's why I said that she's kind of irritated, because there's a difference between like taking no shit and then just like learning to pick your battles. And sometimes she could definitely learn how to pick her battles. But there was one episode in season one where Angie's character had to like apologize to a white woman. Well, she really didn't have to, but her job was asking her to. And she was just like, why we always got to be the ones to apologize? And that really resonated with me, because she really put her foot down and was like, no, like, what? Like, nobody else sees a problem with this. And I feel like, even though this is a fictional character, that's really some badassery that I like to implement in my own life. That's really a role model. I'm not going to say her character is a role model, but somebody who's actually saying, you know, why do we have to do the system the way it's set out to be. Obviously, she doesn't care because she's been living on her friend's couch for like 5 years. But at the end of the day, she's authentic and she's genuine. So that's one television character that I really like. You know, she's really doing things her way, for better or for worse, because sometimes it has been for worse. But I really just love seeing like a refreshing, not even girl, she's like the homegirl next door. She really is. The other characters are kind of bougie, but this one, she's not. She's all herself, and I really see myself in that character. So that's why Angie Wilson is on my list. Even though she's kind of new, I'm not going to say she's groundbreaking in history, but definitely keep an eye on this character. Keep an eye on this actress, because I see her going places. This is a cartoon character. This next person is a cartoon character, but I had to put her on the list. Lisa Simpson from The Simpsons, played by Martha Maria Yeardley Smith. She just goes by Yeardley Smith. But she's been playing this character for 20 plus years, right? And what I just love about Lisa Simpson is like, she's only 8 years old. She's only 8 years old, but she's the smartest one in her whole damn family. And Lisa Simpson was really that first character that I saw that was like curious and independent. And like I said, she's like raising herself basically at 8 years old. But that was me as a girl, always asking questions, always asking why, always pushing back, trying new things. Like I said, for better or worse, but you learn, right? And I love the fact that cartoons are timeless. So this is a woman character that's, well, she's a girl character, but shoot, we are raising girls to become women who will take over this world. And Lisa Simpson, if Lisa Simpson was real life, she would be president by now. Lisa Simpson is definitely on a list of movers and shakers in pop culture. She's got the top spot on my list because, like I said, she really was always, she was the only one with common sense, first of all, but also book smart. And she played the saxophone. She was mad cool. I know she was kind of nerdy, but she was really kind of cute. And I love Lisa Simpson. So I had to put her on the list because she really did change pop culture. Also, somebody else who changed pop culture, Dolly Parton. And the reason I put Dolly Parton on this list is because, again, that attitude of like, I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what people say. Did y'all know that Dolly Parton's been married for like 50 years and like her husband just is ghost? And that's cool. Like, she's the star. Dolly Parton is on my list because, yeah, you know, she had the plastic surgery. She pokes fun at herself. She's okay with herself. And that's what I love the most. Dolly Parton, I mean, we could talk about her country music career, decades long career. This woman is 77. She's been making music for like 50 plus years. And she came from nothing. She was really dirt poor. She came from Tennessee, Little Pigeon River in Pittman Center, Tennessee, the fourth child of 12. And she really did that shit from the started from the bottom. That's why I love Dolly Parton. She's so humble. She's touched every genre from like country to pop to gospel to bluegrass. Too many awards to count. And like I said, what I really love about Dolly is just she did things on her terms. And most importantly, she's able to poke fun at herself. And recently we saw with the COVID pandemic, she donated $1 million to funding the vaccine. So she's really got a philanthropic heart as well. And I just had to put Dolly Parton on here because I love black women, but you gotta give kudos to all women. That's what Women's History Month is all about. Like, I don't care if you're white, Latina, black, we all are women. And at the end of the day, that's how America sees us. At the end of the day, America does not care what race you are. You're still a woman. And all of our rights are being attacked. And that goes for people without a vagina. You can still be a woman without a vagina. So I just wanted to acknowledge that as well. There are women's rights that are affecting a lot of different types of women. So just let that be known. And that goes back to Dolly Parton and her philanthropy. Also, fictional character, but love the person in real life, Olivia Benson, aka Mariska Hargitay. I've probably mentioned her on the show numerous times because I'm a huge Law & Order SVU fan, but I just love Olivia Benson because, again, we're talking about a 20-plus-year career. I think SVU is in, like, its 22nd season. a 20-plus year career playing a badass female cop who has been through the ringer. First of all, Olivia Benson is a product of rape. Olivia Benson's mother was raped and she had her, and then she became a police officer in the special victims unit. Like, talk about pursuing your calling. And in real life, Mariska Hargitay has taken on this role so much that now she donates to, RAIN and sexual assault and domestic violence organizations. So she has really embodied this character. Like, I'm surprised Mariska Hargitay is not a cop at this point. But to watch Olivia really grow from season one to season two, I mean, from season one to 22, watching Olivia deal with family issues, like I said, her mother, her half-brother, becoming a mom herself. And again, like, why can't she just find peace? I just want my girl to be happy because, her adoptive son, now he's looking into his half-family. He's having more fun with them. She can never keep a man. Every single time you think Olivia is going to finally be happy, something happens. She started dating one guy and he turned out to be a little sus and rapey. And then she dated another guy and he died from cancer. So I really just want Law and Order SVU to, when it ends, I want it to end with Mariska Hargitay, Olivia Benson, just happy, because women like her who fight for other women's rights, who fight for justice for sexual assault and domestic violence victims. These are the most vulnerable people in our communities. And I know that it's a fictional character, but I really do love Olivia Benson, and Mariska Hargitay is a great person in my book in real life. So speaking of, fictional characters, and let's stay on this bandwagon, let's talk about Annalise Keating. I was going to put Viola Davis, but specifically Annalise Keating really, like, changed me. Viola Davis in general, can we just talk about all of her accolades? Like, I can't even name all of the movies and films she's been in. And I feel like she's just now getting her flowers at the seasoned age of, how old is Viola Davis? Old enough. She's in her 50s. Oh, yep. She was born in 65. So she's in her 50s. And I just have to say, she just always gives such a breathtaking performance. She really waited for her time to shine. And then she just gave us hit after hit. And when it comes to How to Get Away with Murder, she gave us 6 seasons of an alcoholic badass lawyer. And I threw in alcoholic because I feel like that was her one chip in her armor. And I don't know, I feel like that kind of fed into a stereotype a little bit, Shonda Rhimes. But I just feel like her character was such a badass lawyer, like, take no shit. She really did not mince words with anybody. I really admire that shit. Like, that's how I'm trying to be in real life. But then the whole alcoholism thing, I'm like, who drinks vodka straight from the bottle at 3 p.m.? Like, what black woman drinks vodka straight from the bottle? Like, if it's a black woman alcoholic, I don't know if she would be drinking vodka like that. I don't know. I just feel like they painted her in a bad light. I get it. It's a character. But, like, even with all of Shonda's other characters, like Olivia Pope from Scandal, why does she always have to have a freaking issue? Her issue was sex and marriage and men. And Viola Davis, her character Annalise Keating, she just had a problem with the bottle. But otherwise, that woman really got away with murder. That woman really got out of some crazy sticky situations. That woman even represented herself. That woman also won, like, a class action lawsuit in the meantime, like, while being on trial herself. She was just a badass. So for that reason, Viola Davis, Annalise Keating, she definitely has to be on this list of my favorite women in pop culture. Like, think about, even, let's just talk about Shonda Rhimes. Put Shonda Rhimes on the list, because everything that she did for television, like, to this day, she's still getting coined. Like, Grey's Anatomy is still on the air. I just don't understand. That's one show I have not watched, but I'm a support women. I'm a always support women. So it's Shonda Rhimes for life. Where should we go next with the fictional characters? Maybe Kris Jenner. No, let me stop. Kris Jenner does feel like a fictional character to me because I just can't believe that somebody could be this. What's the word I want to use for Kris Jenner? She is kind of self-serving, but shit, that's also a trait that I would kind of like to have at times. Like, be a little more selfish, be a little more business savvy. And you might not agree with everything Kris Jenner has ever done, but you have to agree that that woman is fucking smart as shit. That woman really turned her whole family out. Now, is it a little manipulative? Maybe. But I don't think her kids have ever said they are not up for it. Like, I'm pretty sure they're all happy with being famous and millionaires. So, I think they're okay. I mean, emotionally, we see that they're not okay. We see that all of her kids got some trauma. So, that's the double-edged sword of it, right? It's like, yes, we rose to popularity. We had that. They were like one of the first reality TV shows, right? Like the Kardashians early days. Yeah, probably shouldn't have raised Kendall and Kylie on the show, but hey, it is what it is. I just put her on this list because for better or worse, lover or hater, you have to admit that Kris Jenner, again, is another woman in pop culture who made her mark. Like, she took Momager to the next level. She flipped a sex tape and made a whole empire. Like, I'm sorry, but hats off to Kris Jenner. She has to be on this list. And, I could have said Kim, or I could have said Khloe, or I could have said Kylie, but the woman behind it was really Kris. And she went from she secured the bag because she went from Rob Kardashian and his money to like build her own empire when he passed. Like, she really held it down. So I got to give her flowers. Now, let's move on to a little music, shall we? I want to give a shout out to Rhapsody. I just feel like Rhapsody has slept on. Again, is she the most groundbreaking artist ever? Like, no, we've had plenty of artists, do something different like she has. But to me, I just think it's awesome that she really has stayed true to herself. She has just such intricate rhyme patterns, metaphors, wordplay. And she's not out here showing her titties to do it. No shade to the people who are. I was going to say love me some titties, but love me, an empowered woman who isn't afraid to show their body and be sexual. Love all that. However, you have to admit it is pretty cool when a woman can have a successful music career in the hip hop industry and not do all that. And so to piggyback off of Rhapsody, I have to say Missy Elliott, hands down, is really the one who has made this imprint. That's the best word to describe it, like an imprint in pop culture without flashing a titty. Shit. Missy Elliott was wearing a fucking trash bag in a music video, an inflated trash bag in a music video. And she still has managed to have a successful career. So that is just something I really admire because I know it kind of goes against the grain, pop culture, sex sells. But when a woman can really have a successful career and still, they are still sexy. Rhapsody and Missy Elliott are still sexy, just in their own way and not doing what everybody else does. So I know it's not, anything super groundbreaking, but to me, these two artists in particular stand out in the rap game when we talk about female MCs, I'm talking about modern day, right? Because I could reach back in time and I could talk about MC Light, Queen Latifah, Salt and Pepper, but today, Missy Elliott's career is already 20 years old and she's still relevant today. And Rhapsody is really holding it down for, the new generation. So I'm really happy to see that. And I just love how, going back to women in hip hop, we really are taking that pussy power and we are really utilizing it. Like, we are taking it back because for too long, men have been talking about pussies and now women get to talk about pussies and now y'all got a problem with it. So I'm happy as fuck that I finally have other rappers to listen to and this whole slew of female artists out here really gripping life by the pussy. So yeah, I just said pussy too much, but it's just so much power in it. It's just so much power in it. I love these women. Now, to shift gears a little bit, let's talk about one of my favorite fashion icons. I'm not talking about Naomi Campbell. However, she should be on this list. I'm talking about Raven Baxter, played by Raven Simone. Raven Baxter is like the highlight of my childhood. Raven Baxter was my role model. Again, did she have issues? Yes, because she always moved too fucking fast, didn't take a minute to sit in her visions. Instead, she always rushed ahead, screwed things up, somehow managed to work it out in the end, and always fell from the roof. I don't know why. Sounds like me, actually. But she was just so creative, passionate, loving, and she just had such a cute family and a cute life, and I think everybody just wants to be Raven Baxter, honestly. Like, she was that girl. She was the it girl. She was cool. She was nice to the nerds. She was cool. I mean, she wasn't even that popular for real, because there was more girls more popular than her. But she was a loyal friend with beautiful fashions. And that's why Raven Baxter has to go on this list. And when you just think about that whole Disney Channel era and what Raven Simone did. Raven Simone, we're talking about history. Raven Simone really has been acting since like age 3. So we have to give her her flowers as well. And I appreciate her, you know. Well, I know she was crazy. I know she had her moments. But I appreciate her for, you know, shining a light on the experiences of child actors, LGBTQ actors, plus size actors. Talk about intersectionality. She's really got a lot going on right there. And she really has just held it down for so many years. So kudos to Raven Simone. Who else should we talk about? I did put Ruth Bader Ginsburg on this list. I have a few gimmies, because I just feel like you can't talk about women's history without talking about a few gimmies. You know, Issa Rae, Oprah Winfrey, Ava DuVernay, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I don't think y'all really realize like how much Ruth really did. Like RBG, she really did what needed to be done. And what I can't stress enough is like, she did this up until her death, until her dying breath. She served on the Supreme Court from 1993 to 2020. Okay, that's almost a 30-year career. And before all that, she was already, you know, working as a lawyer and doing much needed work. She really had a hand in so many notable cases. And that's why it's sad to see them kind of reverse everything that she's had a helping hand in, because this is not the way Ruth Bader Ginsburg would have wanted this shit to go. But you know what? She really was a feminist icon. I could just say so many great things about her. She was the founding counsel for the American Civil Liberties Union's Women's Rights Project. Bet you didn't know that. I just read that from her Britannica. So yeah, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Jewish woman, proud woman, just all around intellectual woman. And she really held it down. She didn't really care how she was perceived. She really was a leader. And I love that about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And I'm getting teary-eyed because she just like did so much in the Supreme Court. And I just don't think that, well, she does get her flowers, but now it's kind of just like she's been reduced to like a hipster sticker on a water bottle. And RBG is just so much more than that. So I do want to give her her flowers. And of course, Michelle Obama, because when we're talking about politics, Michelle Obama, yes, first Black First Lady. But besides that, she had her own fucking career way before Obama. And she didn't need a man to make her great. She made that man great. And adding them two together, that was just a powerhouse couple that we will probably never see in the White House again. And I just had to mention Michelle, because I often think about how she was dragged by the media. She was dragged. And now she's seen as such a bright light of strength, resiliency, intelligence, class. Ugh, Michelle Obama is so classy. Like every time I dress up, I'm like, ooh, got my Michelle Obama on. Cause she really is that bitch. And I just love the fact that she's her with or without Barack Obama. So let it be known, Michelle Obama is definitely going to be on the history list for a very long time. And finally, didn't want to end with this one, but I think this is a good place to end. Lindsay Lohan. I put Lindsay Lohan on my list of women in history because everybody loves a comeback story. And one of my favorite movies as a kid was The Parent Trap. First of all, never seen anybody play twins by themselves. Like, that was pretty freaking dope. And again, talking about pop culture, not talking about history, like, oh my God, Lindsay Lohan isn't, you know, Hillary Clinton or anything, but Lindsay Lohan has just made such a mark on pop culture. Like, there probably would not be an early 2000s, you know, rom-com genre without Lindsay Lohan. I mean, we're talking about Mean Girls, Freaky Friday. What was the other one called? Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen. So many cute classics, and she really held it down. And then she spiraled, just like they always do. But guess what? She made a comeback. So I'm really, really happy to see Lindsay doing a comeback. Don't know about that, those lip fillers, but that's okay. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to come for her. But yeah, I don't know. Like, why? She don't need the lip fillers because we've seen her without them. That's just my opinion. But yeah, I just want to add Lindsay Lohan in there because when I think about pop culture, I think about those early 2000s moments. Like, they were really culture defining. And Mean Girls is still quoted to this day. She probably is still collecting a bag from that movie. So shout out to Lindsay Lohan because I wanted to end with the fact that everybody loves a good redemption story. Everybody likes a comeback. And for women, I feel like it's constantly two steps forward, three steps back. And we're always rebuilding. We're always rebranding. You know, the theme for this Women's History Month is actually embracing equity. And that's all we're asking. We're just asking for equity. We just want the same as men. Actually, we don't even want the same. We want equity, not equality. I mean, we'll take equality too. But you know what I mean? There is a difference between equality and equity. And we need different resources as women in order to succeed at the level that men do. We don't get those resources. Think about Black women-owned businesses. They get like the least funding, apparently. Things like that. It's like if women were just given the same resources as men, just so we could get a foot up, that would really be great because we're already bearing the brunt of caregiving. We're the only ones with common sense in the workplace. I'm sorry. Women's History Month is not a time to rag on men. Women's History Month is just what I said. We really just want equity. And I'm just so tired. Like, why are we still talking about the pay gap in 2023? Like, it's unacceptable. Women contribute so much to history and culture. And there would not be American culture without us, period. We see that now. Women literally had to step up during the Revolutionary era when men were out at war. And we were in the freaking warehouses. And we were in the freaking fields. So just think about that. Like, every time, what they say, behind every great man, there's a great woman. We need to be side by side. We don't want to be behind y'all. Too long we've been behind y'all. In music, in film, in work. We're tired. And honestly, I just want to hold our society accountable. Like, give these women their flowers. Even Lindsay Lohan, even Kris Jenner, give these women their flowers because they're doing this shit in a male-dominated industry. At this point, which industry isn't male-dominated? Like, and you might even say cosmetics, but nope, a lot of these companies are owned by men too. So think about that. When we're thinking about, you know, how can we help women advance and succeed in this society, it's really just about giving us the resources, giving us the opportunities, giving us the chance, letting our voices be heard, and stop letting old men with saggy balls dictate what a woman can do with her body. I know y'all tired of hearing about the abortion topic, but I don't give a fuck because it's still just ridiculous to me that men who have never had ovaries or a cervix or a vagina or anything of the sort, these old ass men are trying to tell us what to do with our bodies. So I love the fact that we do have characters on TV. We do have artists on the radio who are fighting back. Literally, Lotto wrote a song about pussy power. And there's, what, probably my sixth time saying pussy if you're counting. But people are fighting back. Women are fighting back. We're finally taking a stand. I also want to shout out the creators of the Me Too movement, because I know everybody's joking, like, oh, don't want to get Me Too nowadays. But no, I'm glad. I'm glad we finally shook the table. I'm glad we finally said something, because Pandora's box has been open and now it can't be closed. And you know who did that? Women. Every great movement has some awesome women at the forefront. So the work is not done. You know, we're celebrating women's history, but our future is only as good as we make it. And I'm so glad that we have women leaders who are out there leading the charge, because it's going to take all of us. It really is going to take all of us to fight the system that is ruled by the man. And now I'm going to get off my soapbox. I'm going to just leave y'all with this. I love women. I value women. I respect women. I'm so happy to be a woman. And I hope that you all celebrate the women in your lives as well this Women's History Month. That's a wrap on episode 174 of the YBO podcast. I was going to say something clever, but honestly, I feel like I've said enough. I said pussy like 7 times on this episode. So sorry to my mother who listens. I know a lot of people don't like the P word. At least I didn't say the C word. Ugh. So yeah, follow the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at the YBO podcast, and subscribe if you liked what you heard today. And I'll be back soon with another episode. Bye.